Have you been blessed so far, church?
Yes.
Can you handle a little bit more?
Yes.
All right. All right. Well, I have had the pleasure and the privilege of standing before you to preach for the last 5 years now. And I know when I stand before you that thoughts come into your mind. And sometimes I can even almost read those thoughts. Sometimes I know what you're thinking when I stand up here. And I imagine when many of you first saw me standing up here to preach, those first impressions tend to kick in. And I know when most of you look at me, two words come to mind. Pastor Michael, rugged outdoorsman. I mean, when I look at a picture of Grizzly Adams, it's almost like looking in the mirror when I look at... I'm not sure why everybody's laughing right here. Jeanette, why are people laughing? Why are you laughing? I don't understand this. Okay, so maybe I don't give off the impression of being an outdoorsman, but I do like to hike. And Jeanette and I, years ago, we started hiking when we would vacation in Colorado. And of course, we didn't know how to hike. We didn't take supplies or prepare at all. We just saw a trail and off we went. And so one time we found a trail in the Rocky Mountain National Park. And we went for a walk and we decided we wanted to walk up to this place called Bear Lake. We'd heard about it. It's beautiful. And we thought, oh, we can go there. It'd be great. And so we did have a map. We did think enough to bring a map so we knew kind of which way to go. And so we started off walking, and it was a long walk. You can see there, maybe it says it's a 4-mile walk. And it's not just a leisurely stroll. You are hiking up in the mountains of Colorado. And as we were going, we had people walk by us, and we'd say hello and talk to them, and we kept on walking. And pretty soon after walking, climbing over the rocks and going over the turns, eventually we stopped seeing other people on this trail. And then the trail came to a giant rock outcropping. And so we thought, well, don't really know where the trail goes here, but the lake has got to be close by. And we've come this far. We got to just keep looking. So we kind of wandered around for a while. And then there it was, a beautiful mountain lake before us. It was just pristine, crystal, gorgeous. We loved it. We're actually so high up in the mountains, there was a little cloud that was floating over the lake at that time. And for two people who grew up and lived in Iowa, this was quite the experience. And we enjoyed it. But it was starting to get late. It was starting to get dark, and there are no lights on these trails, so we thought we better get back. So we headed back to the trail, at least where we thought we left the trail. And so we walked back, and someone had moved the trail on us. Because it wasn't where we left it. And when you're walking around, all of a sudden, everything looked the same. And you know you're in trouble when you and the person you're with both start doing this. You know, that's a perfect sign that you're in trouble when you've gone hiking. We couldn't find our path back home. And there was no one around, and it was getting darker. So that feeling started to hit me. Have you ever had that feeling before? It kind of gets in the pit of your stomach and just kind of grows. And I tried to just push it down. Like, no, we'll find a path. That's got to be around here somewhere. And we just kept looking around, and we couldn't find it. And Jeanette said, where's the path? And I said, I think it's over here, which was more of a wish than a think, I have to be honest with you. And I began to think, we can't find a path. What are we going to do? I was trying to stay calm, but the feeling kept growing inside of me. And finally, we found the rock, and we stumbled upon the path to get back home. Both of us breathed a sigh of relief, and we headed back down the trail. But I want to ask you this morning, have you ever felt lost before? And don't know which way to go? Or have you had a hard time finding your path in life? Well, today is Pathfinder Sabbath here at Piedmont Park, and my hiking experience have taught me, always take a pathfinder with you when you go hiking in Colorado. So this summer when I go, I'm going to have to snag one of you guys to come with us to make sure that we make our way back. Hi, volunteers even. That's great. Ryan? Well, sometimes in life, guys, finding the path for your life can be harder than finding a lost trail in the woods. Well, today we're going to continue our sermon series on the life of David. And we're going to see if David chose the right path for life. We're going to find out if David would have made a good pathfinder. So we're going to pick up the story of David after he's been anointed, after he's been chosen to be king. This is after he's defeated Goliath. He's had these wonderful victories. He's winning all these battles, and people are singing songs about David. I don't know if any of you guys have written any songs about Director Ryan yet, but think about that, the song you want to sing about him. They're writing songs, and they're singing them about David and everything that he's done. And everyone's happy. Well, excuse me, not everyone's happy. There's one person in particular who is not happy about these songs that are being written. The king is not happy, King Saul. If you have your Bibles with you, I'd like to invite you to open them to 1 Samuel chapter 18. That's where we're going to pick up the story of David today. We're going to start 1 Samuel chapter 18 and verse 28. And it says, "And thus Saul knew that the Lord was with David, and that Michal, Saul's daughter, David's wife, loved him." Verse 29, "And Saul was still more afraid of David, so Saul became David's enemy continually. Then the princes of the Philistine went out to war, and so it was whenever they went out that David behaved more wisely than all the servants of Saul, so that his name became highly esteemed." The king is not happy with David's success. So jealousy and fear grip Saul's heart. And Saul decides David is an enemy and he's out to take my crown. So what does he plan? Chapter 19, verse 1. "So Saul speaks to his son Jonathan and to all his servants that they should kill David." He makes a plan. "We're going to get rid of David." And notice, friends, David hasn't done anything wrong, has he? He hasn't done anything to Saul that would cause him to distrust him. David has served the king with music and served him with the sword. But now he ends up on the run for his life. Chapter 20, verse 1. "Then David fled from Naoth into Ramah and went and said to Jonathan, 'What have I done? What is my iniquity? What is my sin before your father that he seeks my life?'" Is it fair what was happening to David? I mean, God had picked David to be king. He'd been anointed by the prophet. And now David is being hunted. He's a refugee. He's declared an enemy of the state, hunted by the king. Do you ever wonder what David felt like when he was out on the run for his life? Do you ever think he said, "God, what are you doing right now? My life was so much easier when I was just caring for the sheep back home." Maybe there are times in your life when you'll be following God's leading and you end up confused, not sure which path to take, and not sure what in the world God is doing. When that happens to you, I want you to take a lesson from David, who, though he may not have understood everything God was doing, he still trusted God. David and his men end up out in the wilderness. We're talking real camping back then, guys. On the run for their lives. And David becomes a pathfinder. And out there in the wilderness, and in his life, David got to work on earning his honor. Now, pathfinders, you guys spend a lot of time studying, a lot of time learning about God and earning honor badges. Is that right? I got to see some of you have badges there, and some of you are going to be getting some this afternoon. Have you ever wondered how many badges David would have had on his sash? You ever thought about that? He would have had some pretty impressive badges because he had the bear fighting honor badge, How many of you guys got that one yet? Have you? Yeah, a couple of you? He also got the lion killing honor, which I'm pretty sure that Ryan has that one somewhere on there. He even got the hitting the giant in the head with a rock honor, which is a rare honor, and it's tough to get these days because you got to find someone really tall, and maybe have to go to an NBA game to try to get that one. David earned the music honor. He wasn't just an outdoorsman. He could play music beautifully, so he earned the music honor as well. And then he even earned the dodging spears while playing music honor, which is a very tough honor to get. But he got that honor. Out in the wilderness, he gets the camping honor. He gets the winter camping honor because he's out there for a long time. Now, of course, I'm joking a little bit about David earning honor badges. But the story of David is a story about honor. Not just honors and skills that we earn, but a story of honor and shame. Because in this story, we find that David acts honorably toward the king in all that he does. And King Saul has shamefully hunted his faithful servant David. But today we're going to look at the greatest honor that David had, or the greatest test for him. And it wasn't facing a Philistine army. It wasn't bringing down a giant. But the extreme test for David came when he had to choose his path for his life. So if you still have your Bibles open, we're going to see David's Pathfinder story begins in 1 Samuel chapter 24, if you want to turn with me there. Let's see if David can get the true honor and find the real path in life. 1 Samuel chapter 24 starts in verse 1. Now it happened when Saul had returned from following the Philistines that it was told him, saying, "Take note, David is in the wilderness of En-Gedi." Then Saul took 3,000 chosen men from all Israel and went to seek David and his men on the rock of the wild goats. So he came to the sheepfolds by the road where there was a cave, and Saul went in to attend his needs. David and his men were staying in the recesses of the cave. So David and his men are hiding. They're trying not to be noticed. And what happens is Saul comes by with 3,000 chosen men. These are not just guys he said, "Come on, I need some help." He picked, hand-picked the best warriors to go after David. And Saul goes into the cave. Now he's helpless inside the cave. And listen to what David's close friends say to him. These are the guys who've been on the run with David. Listen to what they say in verse 4. Then the men of David said to him, "This is the day. This is the day the Lord said to you, 'Behold, I will deliver your enemy into your hand, that you may do to him as it seems good to you.'" They say, "David, this is your chance. You can end all this running. You can put an end to it. God has brought Saul to you. He's rejected Saul, and he's delivered him into your hands." They tell David, "God wants you to be the king. So strike him down and take the crown." You ever had someone that you were at odds with, and then they fall into your hands, so to speak? Maybe someone at work or at school, they had an advantage over you, and they kind of lorded it over you, treated you unfairly. But then somehow the tables get turned, and now you have the upper hand. How would you treat them if that happened? Would you get even? Would you grab some revenge? Teach them a lesson for what they did? Now, Saul, who has been hunting and seeking to kill David for a long time, Saul actually tried to kill David twice by throwing a spear at him while he was playing music. Now David's moment comes. His true test in life is here. There, hiding in the dark cave with Saul, David could choose his path for his life. So what would David do? What would you do if you had the upper hand on someone who was there to take you out? See, friends, David was skilled at living in the wild. He knew his way around. He was a lot better, and he wasn't going to lose his trail like Pastor Michael would. He knew how to stay alive in the wilderness. He knew how to keep his men alive. But now David has to find his true path, and he has to become a pathfinder. Which path would he choose? To kill Saul or let his enemy go? 1 Samuel chapter 24, continuing in verse 4. David arose and secretly cut off the corner of Saul's robe. Now it happened afterward that David's heart troubled him because he had cut Saul's robe. And he said to his men, "The Lord forbid that I should do this thing to my master, the Lord's anointed, to stretch out my hand against him, seeing that he is the anointed of the Lord." So David restrained his servants with these words, and he did not allow them to rise up against Saul. David lets Saul go. And he even feels bad for cutting the edge of the king's robe. Saul leaves the cave not knowing that anything happened, not knowing how close he was to his enemy, until David reveals what happened in verse 9. David cries out to Saul, "Why do you listen to the words of men who say, 'Indeed, David seeks your harm'? Look, this day your eyes have seen that the Lord delivered you today into my hand in the cave, and someone urged me to kill you, but my eye spared you. And I said, 'I will not stretch out my hand against my Lord, for he is the Lord's anointed.'" Now I want you to think with me for a moment. What did Saul deserve? What did the king deserve? I mean, he'd gone against God. He'd rejected God. The prophet told him, "Your kingdom's going to be ripped away from you." Saul deserved to lose the crown, didn't he? We might even say that Saul deserved death for all the things that he was doing. What did David give Saul? What did he give him that day? He cut the edge of his robe, and he gave him mercy. Saul deserved to lose the crown, probably deserved death. And David, the true king, gives mercy. My friends, what do we deserve in life? Romans 6:23 tells us, "For the wages of sin is death." But what does our heavenly king give us? What is Jesus willing to give us? I'm so glad that that verse, Romans 6:23, doesn't end with that phrase. That's not all the verse. It says the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. You and I and everyone walking the planet, we all deserve death as the wages of sin, but our King gives us mercy. Even before we have allowed Jesus to be the king of our life, he's willing to give us mercy, amen? To forgive us of all the wrongs that we've done. Because of Jesus' death on the cross, he can be our king who, like David, gives mercy to those who do not deserve it. David had to choose his path in life. He could choose God's path to the crown, which looked kind of rocky and uncertain and didn't make sense. Or he could choose his own path, the quicker path, the easier path, and he could take the crown from Saul. His path was much easier, much quicker. Which path would he choose? He said, "I don't understand what God's doing, but I'm going to take God's path, and I'll let God deal with Saul." Sometimes finding our path in life is harder than finding a trail in the wilderness. What path in life will you find? And which path in life will you choose? The quick and easy path, or God's path, which looks uncertain and a lot harder? My friends, I've found in life that God's path is the only path that brings true honor. and meaning to our lives. What will you do if God shows you a different path? Remembering back to when I was in my 20s, and I'm not in my 20s anymore, people keep reminding me, but back when I was in my 20s, I had a girl who loved me, and I loved her. I had my dream job working as a DJ and a music director for a rock station. I lived close to my family and friends. I was 23 years old, and all my dreams were coming true. I had a really easy life, too. Folks, I could wear pajamas to work. And I didn't have to be to work until noon every day. But I want you to listen to what I wrote at the end of 1999. I've always been a writer, and so at the end of a year, I'd write a little year in review. And so this is actually, I found this last winter, and I was shocked when I read it. So this is handwritten by Pastor Michael back in 1998. It says, in March, my boss, Mike Walsh, left the station. Lindy Kay became the new program director, and I was promoted to music director. I always wanted to be an MD, music director, not medical doctor. It's an odd feeling. At the age of 23, I have achieved the job I wanted. Where do I go from here? 1998 has been a wonderful year. I've definitely been blessed. I thank God for everything He's done for me. I have a great job, a loving family, great friends, and an incredible girl that I'm madly in love with. I think 99 could be the best year of my life. Indeed, better days are shining through. In 1999, I was baptized into the Seventh-day Adventist Church. In 1999, I was married to a wonderful lady. And in 1999, God said, I've got a different path for you. And I hung up my microphone at the rock station for a tiny little microphone on the side of my face. And I took a new path. Reading that page, where do I go from here? I had no clue when I wrote that where I was going. But following God's path. And it's not just about what happened back in 1998. It's about following God's path today too. Amen? David found his path of trusting God, and he found it in a dark cave. And maybe, guys, maybe today you will choose to trust God and to follow His path for your life. Or maybe you'll choose to wait. Maybe you'll be like David and you'll wait until you get into a very dark place in your life in order to decide, which path am I going to choose? But I'm here to tell you, you don't have to wait for that dark place. Today, you can accept Christ as your Savior. You can accept Him as your master guide who will take you everywhere you need to go. Follow His path for your life, and He'll walk it with you. Accept His plan and His path, and Jesus will take you where you want to go, to higher ground and to His heavenly home. Let us pray. Almighty Father in heaven, I thank You, Lord, that You have a plan for each and every person sitting or standing here in this room. Lord, You have a plan for each person who's going to be watching this service online or on a DVD or listening to it on a CD. You have a plan for each person's life. And Lord, sometimes that plan matches up with what we're planning. Sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes your plan takes a sharp turn. Sometimes it looks uncertain and dangerous. Lord, help us to be like David, who found his true path in life when he said, I'm going to trust God. I'll trust Him with today, and I'll trust Him with tomorrow. I'll trust Him with all my tomorrows, because He's never failed me yet, and He won't fail me now. Lord Jesus, help us to follow You. Set us on that true path, Lord, and lead us to higher ground. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.